Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Tonight, we are truly looking at and reading that's going on around the world today. The Word of God told us these things were going to happen, wars and rumors of wars all over the land. So we see that the Word of God is true. You are now, once again, tuned in to Are You? It's personal. Are you a liability or an asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show? I am your host, Brother James Brown, Jr., and we do come to you live from Hopper Woods, Michigan, each and every Thursday and every Saturday night from 8 until 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We are about to go into prayer, as we always do. Before we do, I'm asking our listeners, please get your Bibles, your pens, and your paper ready to follow along with the man of God on tonight, none other than Pastor Frederick Chapman. We'll be bringing forth God's word once again on tonight. So you're definitely going to need your Bibles, your pens and paper to follow along. As we get ready to go to God in prayer, I'm asking the listeners to please keep the following people in your prayers. We're going to definitely keep the people of Israel in our prayers, the people of Ukraine. I'm asking prayer for my brother in Christ, Brother Rob Mitchell, who's having ear problems right now. He went to the doctor on yesterday because he could not hear out of his ear, but we are praying for healing and restoration for him, even on tonight, that God would be glorified. I'm asking prayer for my entire family. For those of you that don't know, we drove down to Marion, Alabama last weekend to funeralize my Uncle Jeff. He had a beautiful homegoing service down in Marion, Alabama, and as soon as we got checking into the hotel, I get a call from my cousin from North Carolina, from Greensboro, North Carolina, saying that our aunt Lily Mae King was rushed to the hospital. She had cancer. It had run away, but it came back. Now it has spread to the point that the doctor said that there's nothing else they could do. So she's home now under hospice care. So we want to keep her in prayer that God's will be done. And her husband, my uncle Malachi, their son lived next door to them. He's on dialysis. And he's at the point now that he's seeing his mother going through what she's going through. Now he's talking about stopping his dialysis because he can't take watching his mother go through what she's going through. But we know God is a healer. We know that God is able, whatever the situation is, no matter what it looks like, God is still in control. And he has the final say. No matter what we think or how we feel, God has the final say. So it's all in God's hand, every situation. So we thank God that we don't have to send him anywhere because guess what? He's everywhere at the same time. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. We want to continue to pray for the sick and afflicted all over the land, whether we know them or not, and as well as the bereaved. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come as your children, touching and agreeing and on one accord, realizing that you are God all by yourself. You still have and hold all power in heaven and earth is in your hands. And for this, we give you glory, honor, and praise. We thank you that there is none like you in all the earth. We thank you that we don't have to send you anywhere because we know that you're always there. You're everywhere at the same time. We pray, Lord, that you will forgive us all of our sins and our transgressions, starting with myself, my entire family, Pastor Frederick Chapman, his entire family, every saved believer all over the land that are being faithful doers of your word all over the land. Forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions so that our work for you on earth will not be in vain. Is our prayer in the name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to decrease individually and as a corporate body of believers on tonight, that you get the glory through your word, through your man of God, as you lead and guide him through your Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, that should there be any listeners on tonight that's not saved in Jesus' name, whether they have dialed in by phone, whether they're listening in through social media platforms around the world, or even if they are incarcerated behind prison bars for just or unjust reason, move by your spirit through your word, that your word will be received on tonight. That should there be any listener that's not saved in Jesus' name, they will open their mouth, confess their sins, and ask Jesus, your son, to come into their hearts and save them, even on tonight, that you would be glorified. It's our prayer in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your grace and your mercy, even your sufficient grace that you extend to each one of us, even though we don't deserve it. So have your way on tonight. Continue to bless every listener that faithfully dials in, for every listener that listens in through social media platforms around the world, even those that are incarcerated behind prison bars that have access now to hear this worldwide ministry. Continue to bless each one of them and grant them the desires of their hearts that will give you glory, honor, and praise is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, before we bring forth Pastor Frederick Chapman to deliver God's word, once again, I pray and hope that you have your Bibles and your pens and paper ready to follow along. I was sharing with Pastor Chapman before we came live on the air on tonight. I think I shared this last week, but I see a lot of people that dialed in on tonight that wasn't on the line before. I have to give God his glory. I went to the doctor last week, keeping my appointment. And as I got there, she checked my breathing and found out that my heart rate was at 40%. So she sent me straight down to urgent care. And I stayed there for 2 days. They did all kind of tests on me. They even had a heart monitor on me for 10 days. And I just get ready to put that in the mail back to them. But they said that everything went well. Lo and behold, I got home from Alabama from my uncle's funeral Sunday night. In my mailbox were 2 bottles of medicine from the VA hospital for high blood and for heart. And so I was not clear about why did they give me this medicine. So I called my cardiologist. She called me back today and said that she definitely wanted me to take these 2 medicines until I see her on the 27th because she's going to put me on another different heart medicine because my heart muscles are weak. So I just thank God that it could have been a lot worse. I thank God that I kept my appointment. And in the midst of it all, I was able to make it down to Marion, Alabama to help funeralize our Uncle Jeff on last Saturday. So as we get ready to move forward, I'm still giving God glory, honor, and praise because I know that I'm in his care. So are you, my listeners, my sisters and brothers in Christ. We are all in God's care. He said we can cast all of our cares upon him because he cares for us. So as I stated earlier before we prayed, we know that we are experiencing what the word of God told us was going to happen, and we're seeing it before our very eyes every day. Continue to pray for the people of Israel as well as the people in Ukraine, those that are sick and afflicted, whether you know them or not, those that have lost loved ones. Keep them in your prayers, whether you know them or not, because we serve an awesome God who is everywhere at the same time. I am getting ready to go to our music break song right now, and I'm going to do this again on tonight because we stand in need of prayer. The world is in trouble, but thank God he's in control. Nothing passes by him that he don't know about. So for that reason, the word of God said, the fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much. That's why I'm praying once again on tonight. Pray for me.
Come on, KD.
This is an old song from North Carolina, Currituck, North Carolina. Maybe some of y'all know this, but I'm going to sing this song here. My, my, my. Pray for me. Yes, sir. Pray, pray for me.
Yes, yes, yes. Guess what? We're all standing in the need of prayer. So, again, the word of God says the fervent prayers of the righteous, guess what? It still avails much. I'm asking our listeners once again, please keep my Aunt Eola Hogue in your prayers. Again, we funeralized her husband, my Uncle Jeff, on last Saturday down in Marion, Alabama. They were married for 68 years. So we want to keep that family, the Hogue family, the King family in Greensboro, North Carolina. Again, my Aunt Lily Mae King is home now from the hospital. She's in hospice care. And they're saying that it could be any day now. But no matter what it looks like, we know that God can still turn that situation around, but God is still in control. So keep my entire family in prayer. And not only my family, but all those. Again, we want to keep Israel and Ukraine in our prayers that God would have his way, that he get the glory through it all. We are ready to receive the man of God on tonight, none other than Pastor Frederick Chapman. Again, he's going to be bringing forth the word on tonight. I hope and pray that you all have your Bibles, your pens, and your paper ready to follow along. And following the message, I will open up the phone lines for all of you that have dialed in so you can speak to him. I want to give a shout out real fast to my pastor and shepherd, none other than Pastor Mark C. Holloway and my church family, the Peace and Goodwill Baptist Church family in Harper Woods, Michigan. Pastor Chapman, I now yield the mic to you.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Thank you so much, Brother Brown, for inviting us back. It's good to be back here on your radio show, and we are excited about what God is going to give us tonight. We want to make sure that we are keeping Brother Brown and his family lifted in prayer, and also throughout the world, the things that are going on in Israel. We want to make sure that we're keeping our soldiers, government officials, those families who have lost loved ones in Israel, and some who are still missing. We want to make sure that we are keeping them lifted. We believe that prayer is our answer, that God is our answer, and Jesus is the answer for the entire world. So go ahead today. We are going to go ahead and get started. I want to give a shout out to our awesome church family. Amen. I want to also give shouts out to Pastor Rochelle Chapman, my wife, as we lead the New Beginnings Bible Church of Detroit, and we thank God for all the things that he is doing with us and in us and through us. I want everybody to go ahead and grab your Bibles quickly and turn with me to the Old Testament. We're going to have a few passages that we'll deal with today. I want you to go ahead and grab a piece of paper and a pen so that you could take good notes and follow along with us. We're in the book of Ecclesiastes tonight. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, very familiar passage to some of you. To some of you, it may be a new passage, but we're going to deal with verses 1 through to verse number 8 on tonight. Before we get started, we're going to go ahead and pray, and then we're going to jump right in. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you, God, for another opportunity, Father God, to hear your voice. Father God, for we know, God, that when we open up your word, Father God, we open up our ears to your mouth, Father God. We thank you tonight, God, for those who are listening, Father God. We thank you, God, for those who have tuned in tonight, who have dialed in. We pray in the name of Jesus that something will be said, Father God, to edify, to encourage, to build up, God, in their spirit, man, God. We thank you, God, for those, Father God, who may be listening behind prison walls, Father God. We pray, Father God, that you would give them the perseverance and the endurance, Father God, as they are in. And we pray, God, that you would bless, God, their families on tonight, God. We pray for all of those who are sick and shut in, Father God, those who are dealing with death and discouragement, Father God, and grief tonight. We pray, God, for your healing in their lives. We thank you so much, God, for what you're about to do in your word tonight. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Amen.
Give you my subject quickly. What are you doing with your time? That is the question for tonight. That is the subject for tonight. What are you doing with your time? So if you're writing down notes, go ahead and write that title down. And we're going to be looking at Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, verses 1 through to verse number 8. We're going to start here at verse number 1. The Bible says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. I want you to underline that entire verse. A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. I want you to go ahead and also turn your Bibles over to Psalm 90. We're going to look at stanza number 12. And stanza number 12 says, "So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." And so those are the two passages that we're going to try to dissect tonight. First of all, I just want to tell everyone that time is a responsibility. Time is a responsibility. You ought to know that God has given all of us time. Some of us have shorter times than others, but time is critical when we look at this life. And the question is, what are you doing with your time? How is your time spent in your life? What are you doing in your life that causes you to be closer to God, that causes you to become a better you? What are you doing with your time on a daily basis, from the time that you rise to the time that you lay down? It is important, brothers and sisters, for you to use your time wisely. And we don't know how much time we have, so it behooves us to be and not so much instinctive with our time, but purposeful with our time, that we are intentional with our time. Many people are wasting time. They're wasting time and doing things that really don't matter, that doesn't bring their life to a greater purpose. The fact is, brothers and sisters, is that life and time go together. We have Ecclesiastes, the writer of Ecclesiastes, Solomon, who also wrote the book of Proverbs. He deals with the dichotomy of time. He deals with the contrast of time. He deals with time being really a two-sided coin. He gives one side and then contrast it with the other. The fact is that he starts this text off by saying to everything. I want you to write that word down, everything. To everything, there is a season. A season is a point in time, a time frame. We know in the earth that we have different seasons. We call it the four seasons. You know, we have spring, summer, fall and winter. And the fact of the matter is, brothers and sisters, is that it does not stay spring always. It does not stay summer always. It does not stay fall always. And it does not stay winter always. I believe that really Solomon really wanted us to understand the temporal part of time, that time in our lives are not always the same, and it is not always going to be the same in our lives, and there are different seasons that we will have to go through ourselves, that nothing remains the same, that this life is a temporal life. And one of the things that we have to understand, that because it's a temporal life, we have to ask ourselves, what am I doing with this life that I've been given and the time that I've been given? One of the things that we must understand, that if we are to make good use of our time, we have to make sure what we're doing, the activities that we are doing under heaven. Understand that it says under heaven, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose. Watch this, under heaven. Why does he say under heaven? He says under heaven because in heaven and eternity, time does not exist. When we look at the earth, it is governed by time. You know, it is governed by that chronos, right? It is the tick-tock of the clock, right? It is 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, right? We have all these different things that we do at different times, and we have to understand that, first of all, if we're going to be productive, that time has a purpose, okay? I want you to understand that your time here needs to be purposeful. Have you found your purpose for living? I want you to understand, brothers and sisters, that everybody was born with some type of purpose. God allowed you to have life and has given you life for a purpose. You were not an accident. You are not just some body on earth. You're not just, this sperm cell that was inserted into an egg and became a fetus until you became a full-grown baby. No, you were in God's mind. You were in God's intention. You were made with a purpose in life. And the fact is that if you are going to manage your time productively, you have to be able to find your purpose. And the only way that you're going to find your purpose is in God. God has given everybody a sand glass, and that sand is running out every day. And we need to understand that that hourglass, in which are the times of our lives, in the days of our lives, we have to understand that God is meant for it to be purposeful. You can't get up in the morning and not know why you're getting up. You can't, live every day and not know why you exist. You cannot just live your life as a person who has no aim, no target in life. And God is calling all of us to have a target in life. I want you to begin to think about you and your makeup and understanding why God put you on the earth. You understand that we have been put on the earth as believers to allow God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. As we pray the Lord's Prayer, part of that prayer is, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's will is implemented within our lives, and we live that out here on earth. Here, you understand that the Bible says in verse number 2, and we're in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 for those who are just joining us, we're in verse number 2. The Bible says a time to be born, right? Everybody who's living here on earth right now was born out of some womb, right? You were born into the earth. God allowed your time, and the time that you came into this earth, you were born with some type of gifting to the world. We have to understand that when we leave this earth, we have to leave empty. Here he says, listen, not only are you born into the world, but there is also a time to die. Life is about living and dying. We have to understand, brothers and sisters, is that surely as we were born here, we are also going to die one day. Death is something that people don't always celebrate, even at funerals, when we talk about, it's a homegoing service, it should be a time of celebration for our loved ones who have gone to be with the Lord. But we know that there is another side to that. There's a part of sadness that is in our lives, because if it were up to us, the person in the casket would have gone on living forever, if it were up to us. But God knows how many days that are in that person's life. If you look at Psalms 90 and 12 that we just read, it said, teach us to number our days, to say that, listen, we're not always going to be here. When a child is born, we celebrate, right? When a person is born into the earth, we celebrate. We cry. There are tears of joy, right? But when someone leaves this earth, there's sadness, right? Because it looks as if there is no more relationship. But the fact is that we are spirit beings living in a body, and we need to understand that the real us has gone on to be with the Lord, right? Because absent from the body is present, is to be present with the Lord. And so we have to understand that life is about, you know, there is a time that we are born in this earth, and then there's also a time to die. Also here in verse 2, you'll notice he says a time to plant and a time to pluck, right? Pluck up what is planted. And so that is seed time and harvest. We need to understand that there is a time for sowing in our life, right? He uses this agricultural planting and planting and plucking up, right? And so we plant the seed into the ground, but once that seed has become a full-grown plant, right, and now we begin to pluck up that which we have planted, you need to understand that you may be in a season of planting, right? Some of us are in the season of harvest, right? You have planted your seeds in the past, and now those seeds are coming up, right? The Bible says in, I believe that it is in, and let me make sure I got it, Philippians, I believe it's chapter number 5, but let me go ahead and check. The Bible tells us, Galatians chapter number 6 and 9, right? It tells us that, hey, whatever man sow, he's going to reap. But it says, don't grow weary of well-doing, for at the proper time, right, you'll reap if you faint not. And so what we have to begin to understand is that God's word is going to come to pass. In Galatians 6 and 5, it says that God cannot be mocked, right, that whatever a man sow, he is going to reap. And we need to understand that there is a time for us to plant, right? There's a time for us to pluck up what is being planted. And so we have to understand that that is a cycle, right? And we need to understand that our life will go through cycles. So the question I ask again is, what are you doing with your time? Because when we look at purpose, that's the reason for our living. But we have to understand that our purpose is also preparation for something. And when we have sowing and reaping, we are preparing for something in the future. We have to understand that we deal with being born in the present, right? That becomes our past. But then when we die, that is a futuristic thing if we have not died already. Here, he is also talking about the future when we deal with a time to plant, right? So that's something that is planted in the past, and in the future, it will be plucked up. We need to understand that not only do we have to have a life that is full of purpose, but we need to understand that we're preparing ourselves for something. We are preparing ourselves for something that we should be expecting, right? That there is going to come a time in our life where we're going to see God. There's going to be a time where we're going to die. There's going to be a time that we're going to leave here. Understand that when he's talking about planting and plucking, we need to understand that God is always dealing with our spirits, right? Amen. There's some things that you planted in your spirit a long time ago, and God says that you're going to get the harvest of that, right? You've been planting the word of God in your soul and your spirit. You've been meditating upon the word of God, and some of you may feel discouraged because I haven't seen the manifestation of my life change yet, but I want you to understand that God cannot be mocked. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. God is going to allow that to come up in your life. Understand that. It's not only says that, but here it says in verse number 3, a time to kill and a time to heal. We understand that we have soldiers in the earth who are here to defend the honor of the people, right, that who will defend countries, right? We have some people who may be out there right now listening in the service, right? And you have to understand that this word kill here is a different, that it's different from murder, because there are some things that, you know, some person just kills someone for nothing, for no for no reason, right? No rhyme or reason. They just murdered somebody because they could. But the fact is that when we use this word kill, we look at ultimately a defense, right? Somebody who does not allow anybody to come in and kill them, right? And but they are protecting their home, they're protecting their country, and so God looks at that, right, as an acceptable killing. It's not something that he condones when somebody just takes a life for no rhyme or reason. And so even in the Old Testament, it was saying that as an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, right? They stone people in the word of God for different crimes and things like that. But we have to understand that God said there's a time for that. But he also says that there's a time to heal. We have to understand, brothers and sisters, that there are times when we're wounded in our lives. There's a time where our hearts are broken. There's times where we are scarred by people and things. And God says that there's even a time for healing, right? Healing not just in the body, but healing in the heart. Not just healing of the heart, but healing of the mind, right? Healing of the soul. And we need to understand, brothers and sisters, that healing takes time, depending on how deep the cut, how deep the wound. I want you to understand, some people get, you know, healed overnight, and then you got some people, it takes a process of getting to that place of healing. You know, if somebody scratches you, that may heal up quickly, but if somebody stabs you with a knife or something like that, you have to understand, brothers and sisters, that that's going to take a lot more to heal. You know, a scrape and an incision are two different things, right? And you have to understand that whatever has wounded you, whatever has hurt you, you need to understand that you need to have a time to heal. Understand that some of us need to heal from the trauma of things that have happened to us, right? And sometimes we need professional help in order to do that. Sometimes some people can pray and fast for that particular healing. Wherever the doctors cannot get to, God can. And I'm here to tell somebody right now that God will heal you. Amen. He heals broken hearts. He binds up the heart, the wounds of the brokenhearted, and we are thankful for that. The Bible says a time to break down, right, and a time to build up. When we look at this, brothers and sisters, that there are some things that we do need to tear down, right? And sometimes we don't want to tear down things because our hearts are connected to it. But the fact is that God wants you to make room for what is to come, right? He wants us to make room for what is new. There are some things in our life that we need to tear down and get rid of, right? Because it's connected to our past. And the fact is, brothers and sisters, what are you doing with your time now? You have to ask yourself, is what in my life, the things that I built, you know, are they worth it, right? The things that I've put my energy and my heart into, are they worth keeping? The fact is that God wants us to build things that will last, right? He doesn't want us to build things we allow others to tear down, right? He wants us to be able to look at our lives and understand what it is in our lives, right, that we've made monuments to, that we can go ahead and say, you know what, I'm going to tear this down and I'm going to build something else, right? There are some of us who are so satisfied with the things that we build that we don't look to build anything else. We don't need to look to build new structure. What are you doing with your time? Are you building something? Are you tearing something down? But there are some things that we do. All of us have wasted time, right? We've wasted time building things that don't mean about anything. Understand that sometimes, you know, we've taken time to tear things down, and God says, listen, it's time to build now, right? But God has a time and a season for everything that we do. Understand here in verse number 4, the Bible says a time to weep and a time to laugh. You know, when we deal with weeping, right, Bible says that weeping may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. We need to always understand that there's an other side to life. There's another side to our weeping. There's another side that you are not going to weep always. The Bible says in Revelation, matter of fact, that he'll wipe every tear from your eye. And you need to understand that weeping is not going to last forever, but there are times in your life where you're going to weep over things, right? You're going to weep over loved ones who have gone. You're going to weep over relationships that you've lost. You're going to weep over jobs that you may have lost, money you've lost, right? Investments you may have lost, right? No one likes to lose, right? No one likes to have a broken heart. Maybe you and your family are not getting along, and you spent time weeping over that, right? Maybe you and your husband are going through a tough time, and you've had to weep over that, right? Maybe you don't have enough resources, and you've had to weep over that. I'm here to tell you that weeping is temporary. Yes, it's temporary. There are going to be times where you can laugh, right? And sometimes we can look back at our situations and laugh about it. And some things we look back on are no laughing matter at all. But God wants us to understand that laughter is like a medicine, right? You need to understand, brothers and sisters, that there is a time, listen, especially in times of sadness, where you may just need to, listen, get out and listen to some clean comedy. You need to look at some videos that will make you laugh. Amen. I'm telling you that some of us are, we will stay in that cloud of weeping and downtrodden and depression. And we go, you know, there in the word of God, that there were times of weeping. Sometimes they wept only 3 days. Sometimes they wept for 7 days. Sometimes they wept for 30 days. But you need to understand that there's going to have to be a time where you laugh. Understand, he says, not only there's a time for laughter. The Bible says there's a time to mourn. Right? There are some times where we are going to be mourning, like I said, over loved ones, over people who have passed away. But the fact is, brothers and sisters, that God doesn't want us to stay there. God wants us to be able to get up. Listen, getting past grief, you know, you have to take your time with that sometime, because sometimes we can walk around like we're doing all right without our loved one, you know, that I'm doing all right. And sometimes people will try to rush you into healing quicker, because, you know, there's, you know, sometimes people say you're still weeping over mother, you're still weeping over father, and, you know, they try to cheer you up. But sometimes you need to allow your process to be your process. You need to allow your process to do its work, and you'll heal in God's good time, right? And you'll heal in that time, and time of refreshing will come. Doesn't take the place of losing somebody, but you need to understand that your mourning is temporary. The Bible says a time to dance. Amen. Hallelujah. Many times, you know, I'm dancing in church over something that God did or something that he allowed me to remember, right? Dancing is a good thing, right? You need to turn on some music and dance to some gospel music if you have it, right? Dance to your favorite song. It's something about that movement. It's something about allowing yourself to be free to express that within your body, right? God doesn't, you know, want us to go out here doing all this vulgar stuff, but he does want us to dance, right? He does want us to give him glory with our bodies. And so I want to encourage somebody, if you have not tried to dance, you need to just try, right? Some of us say, I might not have any rhythm to get out here and dance, but I want to tell you, it ain't about your rhythm, it's how it makes you feel, right? And so God wants us to be able to deal with this, as Solomon helps us here in Ecclesiastes. The Bible says in verse 5, there we are now, in verse 5, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse number 5, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones. Understand, brothers and sisters, there's some things that we have to cast away from us, and there's some things that we can gather. We have to understand that stones were markers, right? Stones were markers in the Word of God, and there's some things that we have used to mark our history, right? But there's some things that we don't need to remember. Sometimes, you know, we make markers in our lives of the bad things that happened to us. You know, in 1953, this happened to me, and we got these stones as markers, right? That bring remembrance to things. But the fact is that there's time to gather stones, and then there's time to cast away those stones. That there are some of us who relive the trauma of our life through dates and memories and things that we want to remember. And some of these things are not good things. Some of these things we need to forget. Right? We need to allow God to heal our hearts from the traumas that we've had in our life. The things that you have to understand is that you need to start gathering good memories, right? And you need to start adding those memories up, because those memories are the goodness of God. And even in the bad things, there's some things that you can learn. There's some things that God will allow you to learn through the hard times, right? And I'm believing that tonight that healing is taking place, that there's some things you got to cast away, those things you got to push away from you that you can no longer make monuments to, right? Those things that you cannot no longer look at and allow yourself to relive the trauma of your past. And some of you may have to forgive some people. Some of you may have to go ahead and make a phone call, if possible, to let somebody know I forgive you, right? I'm not going to hold that against you. I'm not going to gather those stones to myself anymore. I want you to understand that God wants you healed and he wants you whole. Here it says a time to embrace, right? And a time to refrain from embracing. There's some people out there right now, you got some family members, you got some friends, right, who you need to embrace. But there are some people who don't need embracing right now. You need to show them a level of tough love. And I know that we don't want to deal with that sometime, but what are you doing with your time right now, right? There's some things you just share. There's some times that you should be embracing people, and then there's some time that you need to just let them go. I believe that there's somebody dealing with somebody right now who they need to hand over to the Lord, right? You need to hand them over. You've been trying to coddle them. You've been trying to help them, but it seems like they continue to go the same route, and they're bringing more of high blood pressure in your life than they are things that are good. And I'm here to tell you that there's some people you need to love on. There's some people you need to embrace in this season. What are you doing with your time? Are you spending time complaining about somebody, or are you spending time embracing them? And if you've always embraced somebody, maybe it's time for you to stop embracing so that they can step out on their own and do some things for themselves. Listen, I know that you're the, you know, matriarch of the house. You know, you're the patriarch of the house, but you're going to have to allow people to grow up. You're going to have to allow people to make decisions, and you're going to have to let some people live with the consequences of those decisions, because sometimes we keep on rescuing people and they go out there and we have to rescue them again. You know, we have to intercede for them, and then we have to intercede for them consistently. But sometimes you need rescued, and who's going to do that? Praise God. And so we need to make sure that we know when to embrace people and knowing when to refrain from embracing. You cannot always embrace your child if your child is bent on doing things that is out of line with God's word and out of line with your morals and your values here. Stand here in verse number 6, it says a time to gain and a time to lose. Who doesn't like gaining, right? Who doesn't like gaining something? I believe I like gaining things. I know you like gaining things, right? But it's hard, brothers and sisters, when we're gaining right? And I believe that God wants you to increase. I believe that God wants you to live in abundance. But the flip side of that is that how do you deal with life when you feel like you're losing? I think you need to remember the gains. I really do. I do believe that you need to look at what you've gained and not just what you've lost, right? Not how much you've lost, but how much God has really done for you in your life, that there is going to be losses and there are going to be gains in your life. You need to praise the Lord when you're gaining and praise the Lord when you're losing, right? And none of us like to lose. We don't like to lose our homes. We don't like to lose our jobs. We don't like to lose our money. We don't like to lose our health. But the fact is that God is the giver of all things. And when you lose, listen, sometimes we blame the devil for our losses. But the fact is that sometimes you need to understand that God has allowed you to lose for a reason. There are certain times you are going to lose, and sometimes that life isn't going to be fair to you, but you need to understand that through it all, God is with you no matter what, right? Bible says a time to keep. We're still in six, a time to keep and a time to throw away. This is a big one. Listen, what are you doing with that extra time that you have? Listen, you need to go through all the junk you have. You need to go through your closet, and there's some things that you need to throw away. There's some things that you need to keep, right? There are some of us, we keep things, and they're called hoarders. Sometimes people keep things that they really don't need, right? Do you really need all those clothes? Do you really need all that you have, right? Your food is going to waste in the cabinet. You've had it. Now it's outdated. You should have been got rid of that, right? Sometimes we need to understand that there are times in our life where we can't keep everything, right? We have to be able to throw some things away. Some of us, we got our house full of things that we've kept and kept and kept, right? There's some things you do need to hold on to. Your memories, yes, you need to hold on to. But what is that stuff that you have no purpose for having? I need you to look in your house right now and find out what it is that you don't need anymore and allow yourself to let it go. And some of us are in bondage to garbage. Let me say it again. Some of us are in bondage to garbage, things that we need to throw away, but we have kept it for so long. Understand that there is a time to keep some things, and then there's time to throw away. We're almost done here. The Bible says, a time to tear and a time to sow, right? Understand that there's a time to, there's a time for, you know, a level of division, right? Tearing apart, right? And then there's a time to sow and to mend, right? There's some things that can be saved, right? There's some things that have been torn that can be sewn back together again. And sometimes the rip of certain things are so bad that they're not repairable. You have to be able to have discernment in your life in this time that you have to say, hey, you know, do I tear and keep on tearing, or do I repair? Do I sew, right? Do I sew this thing up again, right? Does this, can this be salvaged, or can it, right? Some of us are trying to salvage relationships that are not repairable. I believe that God can repair anything, but I also believe that there are things that are meant to be broken. There are things that are meant to be torn apart because they serve no greater good and no greater purpose in life. And we need to understand that not only is there a time to tear and a time to sow, but there's also a time, watch this in verse 7, a time to keep silent. This is big, a time to keep silent. What are you doing with your time? Are you talking, you know, overflowing of your heart is always coming out of your mouth? Here it says a time to keep silent. Listen, you don't have to express your feelings or your concerns over everything. Listen, you don't have to tell your business to everybody, right? You need to find an ear that you can trust, but there's some times that you have to be quiet. Some of us have to be quiet because we might say some things that we don't need to say, right? There's some things that you don't need to express right now when you're angry, when you're upset, right? When you're hurt. Listen, when you're hurt, you need to watch your mouth. When you're angry, you need to watch your mouth because there are some things that we allow to come out. Listen, what are you doing with your time? Are you spending time gossiping on the phone? Are you spending time talking about people? Are you spending time criticizing and being the critic of other people instead of keeping silent, right? There's some things that you can't say to people. You can't always speak your mind the way you want to. I know that you're a person who speaks your mind and you take pride in speaking your mind, but you can speak your mind at the wrong time. Sometimes our mouth can get us in trouble with people, right? Listen, sometimes your mouth can get you in trouble in the courtroom. If you know, the judge tells you, hey, don't say another word or I'm going to hold you in contempt, and you just got to say something else, then now you've got bigger problems than just being in front of a judge. I want you to understand, brothers and sisters, is that there are some times where you just need to be silent, right? Keep quiet, because there's some times that God is going to give you that purpose to speak. Understand that just like it's a time to be silent, there's a time to speak. There's a time you need to speak up. There's a time that you need to say something that you've been wanting to say, and speak it boldly and from your heart. Listen, I'm not talking about insults or anything like that, but sometimes people need to hear the truth, right? Sometimes you have been silent long enough. You need to talk to your daughter. You've been silent long enough. You need to talk to your husband about that, your mother about that, your father about that. There's some time that you need to get off your chest the things that you need to talk, about, right? There's some of you who need to talk to some counselor because you've been holding everything in for a long time. I want you to understand that God says here also a time to love and a time to hate. There's some time, listen, there's a time to love people and it's time to hate what they do, right? There's a time where you can love somebody and hate what they do, right? But I want you to understand that God wants us to love our enemies. He wants us to love our family members. He doesn't want us to hate them, but he wants us to hate what they do, right? God doesn't hate us, but he hates the things we do sometimes. And we have to understand that there is a time for that, right? There's a time to love and a time to hate. Watch this, a time for war and a time for peace. We are in a nation where there are wars and rumors of wars. Our loved ones are going to war. There's things going on right now in Israel, right? And we have to decide whether or not we're going to go over there and help them to fight. The fact is that war is necessary, right? Sometimes when you have tyrants and you have people who want to hurt other people and who don't care about life, then there is a time to go to war, right? And then there's also a time where we can have peace, right? All of us love peace, right? All of us, that's God's ultimate goal for all of us, to have peace, but not as the world gives, but to have peace regardless of what's going on in the world. Amen. Listen, what are you doing with your time? I hope this lesson has been a blessing to all of you. I wish I could go further, but I want to be able to yield the time so that we have some time to get some comments in. Thank you so much, Brother Brown. We appreciate you for having us on tonight, and thank you to our listeners as well.
Amen. Praise the Lord. What a word for such a time as this. Now, listen, what your message title was on tonight, what you just spoke about, I forgot to give us the spiritual food for thought. I normally give the spiritual food for thought early in the program. But this is what, and you spoke on this during your message. That's what made me think about this, Pastor Chapman. The spiritual food for thought today comes to us saying, discernment is the ability to see things for what they are really are and not for what we want them to be. So that kind of ties in with the message on tonight. I love how God connects his people together and how his word comes forth, that he gets the glory out of it. So once again, tonight's spiritual proof of thought, discernment is the ability to see things for what they really are and not for what we or you or I want them to be. I am getting ready to open up the phone lines. We have a lot of listeners that dialed in on tonight. I'm going to give as many people a chance to speak to Pastor Chapman on tonight. I was truly blessed and inspired by this word on tonight. This was a much-needed word on tonight for such a time that we're living in. I'm opening up the phone lines right now as we speak. So if you have been blessed by someone needs to mute your phone. If you're not going to be speaking, please mute your phone. I think I'm going to go over this. I think I forgot what it is. Right here, I think. If you would just have tonight's message, please let Pastor Chapman know. Who needs to mute their phone? Somebody needs to mute your phone. If you're not going to be speaking live, please mute your phone. If you would just have tonight's message, please let Pastor Chapman know. The lines are open now. Praise the Lord.
Yes, I was blessed. I was blessed by this message tonight. And it was really, really well needed. And my family is going through a lot right now. So I'm asking everybody to please pray for my family. Because we're going through a lot of stuff right now. So keep my family in your prayers. The Rutledge family, the King family, and the whole family.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Mary Ann King from Greensboro, North Carolina. We will definitely be keeping each one of those families lifted up in prayer. Anyone else? The phone lines are still open. Anyone else? Praise the Lord.
Angel.
I'm trying to find out who that is so I can mute their phone because I can't tell who that is. No, I think I got it. Okay, anyone else that's still on the line? If you have words for Pastor Chapman, you can do so now. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Well, we do have a lot of people that always dials in, but sometimes they don't say anything. But we thank God for you that do dials in and be blessed and encouraged by God's word. Yes, can we go ahead? Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Good evening, gentlemen. Good evening. Thank you so much, Pastor. Thank you so much for the message tonight. Pastor, thank you so much. Thank you so much, gentlemen, for this program. I loved everything I heard. I love it. I love it. I love it. And I'm going to keep up on my own notes. And thank you so much, Pastor Chapman. I appreciate you. Love you, bro. This is Dexter from Detroit.
Your name is Dexter? You say Dexter?
Yes.
Okay, we're definitely going to be keeping you in prayer. So definitely keep tuning in. We're live every Thursday night and every Saturday night from 8 to 9 o'clock p.m. Continue to tune in and be blessed by God's word. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else? You're quite welcome. Anyone else?
What a powerful word that went forth on tonight. I thank God for the word because it was much needed. And I thank God for the man of God being used by God. So I thank God for the both of you all. Be blessed because you both haven't seen anything yet. Watch God turn both of y'all situations around just for your obedience.
Amen. Thank you. We really appreciate you, Sister Tara Doss from Peace and Goodwill. Thank you so much. We're about to close out for tonight. Anyone else before we close out for tonight? Anyone else? Praise the Lord. Well, I tell you what. Listen, you don't want to miss this Saturday night. Pastor Norman King, my cousin from Greensboro, North Carolina, Pastor Norman King from the Victor's Outreach Ministries will be delivering God's word on this worldwide ministry platform this coming Saturday night. If you want to tune in and be blessed by him, as your God is going to say through him, through his word on this coming Saturday night. Until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Know that I love you, but guess what? God loves you even more. Until then, continue to pray ye one for another. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.